Harry's art studio. Pretty sick. I think I should move back to Nashville. Although, your people are getting a little rough. It's weird to go from Europe to the South, where it's like the most elitist motherfuckers in peacoats to just full retard. I do prefer the full retard, though. New episode of RIP, what have you missed? I went to Europe, it was a nightmare. Because I brought Coyote, which was a huge mistake. I had all her paperwork and stuff, but they kicked me out of every place. And she wasn't allowed to go anywhere, and everywhere I went, they'd be like, oh, the dog, it's not possible for the dog. And I'd be like, I have all the stuff, and they'd be like, no, it's not possible. And I'd be like, you just have to hit a button, and they're like, in America, people will just hit the button. People will just be like, yes, yeah, totally fine, I got you. There's no I got you translation in Europe. Doesn't exist. It's not possible. And that really sucked because I realized how much I'm used to getting away with everything in the US. You can just lie. So then we had, dude, at one point, I had to rent a car with the steering wheel on the opposite side of the road, drive on the opposite side of the road in the, you know what I mean? So it's a reverse mirror of a reverse mirror of a reverse mirror. And we went to try and get on the shuttle, which is a chunnel. It's not a tunnel or a shuttle. It's a chunnel. And it takes you to back to the UK. And they were like,
wait, no. It's not called that because
it's called a chunnel.
I know, but it's not because it's neither a tunnel nor a shuttle. It's called that because it goes over under the English Channel. So it's a channel tunnel.
It's a chunnel.
It's not a shunnel.
It's not a shunnel.
It's a chunnel.
It's not like shart.
It's the channel tunnel.
Basically, I was like, I have all the paperwork that I got because Coyote went to the vet like 3 times, and I had all the paperwork, and they're like, no, it's not possible. She needs to have her tapeworm 24 hours before returning to the UK. And I was like, well, I have to go. I need to go home. And they were like, no, what is your license plate? And I was like, my license plate. And they're like, yeah, we need to know your license plate so we know to not let you on. And I was like, and then I just ran to the car and drove away, and she ran out and was like writing it down. So then we couldn't take the tunnel because they had written it down, like, do not let these people on. So then we had to get on the ferry and smuggle her onto the ferry.
Because dogs aren't allowed on the ferry?
Because you can't go back into the UK unless you've given her tapeworm treatment 24 hours before getting back on the ferry. And she had the tapeworm treatment in the United States.
But
I would have had to go to a vet, get another tapeworm treatment, and then wait another 24 hours, miss my flight to the United States, which I was not down to do because I was so done with Europe.
Yeah.
And then, so then I had to smuggle her under the seat of the car. It's just narcs. They're all narcs. They never let anything slide. It's fucking great. What I've been saying is it's like Europe is the woman's bathroom where it takes a long time to get in, but once you're in there, you have to obey all the rules, but it is way cleaner. And the United States is the men's bathroom where you can get in immediately, do whatever you want. But when you get in there, people are being like, we shit on all the walls, brother, you know? And it really made me like the country. I realized the move is you have to lean in to be an American. You can't pretend to be European. You can't try and blend it. And you have to go to restaurants and be like, I want the escargot, please. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Because they just treat you like shit. And if you're American, then they get a little bit scared. Like, they get a little bit like, okay, you're an American and you're actually proud of it, which is the scariest thing to a European.
Do you think any part of that, like, especially the not possible thing, because I also encountered that exact phrase.
Yeah.
Do you think any part of that is like they care more about their jobs?
They all care about their jobs. The wait staff, everybody cares about their jobs.
Does anything in that endear them to you?
Not at all. Not even remotely. Because I was like, the weight limit for Coyote was over by a pound, and I was like, okay, how about this? I'll check my backpack.
Yeah.
I'll check my 25-pound backpack. And they're like, it's not possible because the dog. And I was like, you can't bend the rules a little bit. And there was no bending of rules because the way that their society works is nobody bends the rules and everybody obeys. And that way they have a peaceful existence, which is, and you know what else I kind of realized? There was no like generosity like we have in the US, because the US, there are poor people and there are super rich people. And then, so there's a lot of generosity because there's such a different tax bracket for so many people that there's like, yeah, I'll throw a dog a bone. Whereas there, it's like, we're all in a socialist regime where we're being taxed so highly to give back, I'm not going to give you even a little bit. Where the United States is like, bro, I cheated on my taxes. You can have $100. You know what I mean? Like, because you break the law, people give more to other people. But there's a lot of problems also. I mean, it's like complete. The homeless were like the most civilized people ever. But I missed our homeless people.
Do you think there's more greed in Europe than the States?
I think there's less greed to have a huge amount of money, but there's more greed from civilian to civilian.
You think there's less of a class divide in Europe?
Yeah. Everybody seemed to be doing fine.
I think it is a higher quality of living.
It is a higher quality of living, for sure. The food is better, although it fucked me up. And the
probably day-to-day lower cost of living in most cities.
It seemed to be close to New York.
Unless you're in like London.
Yeah, London was very close to New York. I mean, Belgium ruled. Belgium was great. It just seemed like there was no... It seemed a little bit like somebody was watching them at all times. I mean, London has become like fully fascist. Like if you say in the liberal direction. Like I was like, are you guys all woke? And they're like, yeah, we're all really woke. And I was like, whoa. And they're like, yeah, fuck. And then I like kept trying to talk about it and they would get really weird and they would bring up colonialism. And I was like, why are we? And they kept saying colonialism at me. Like that explained why they were all. And I was like, so you guys are like very, because I thought they were going to be kind of not woke because of how much canceled American comics are fine there. But it turns out because of Brexit, they're so anti-Republican in a way that is like, it's so hostile that they're right now going far in the direction of like, if you say one bad thing about a Muslim, they're like, you get arrested. Like people are getting arrested for tweets. There's a lot of cops on the corners with AK-47s. Like it feels very, do not step out of line in London.
Do you think they've internalized the fact that they are kind of the colonialists of America?
Totally.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was really weird. And for the first time in Europe, it didn't feel cumbersome. Like, usually I go to Europe and I'm like, I'm the retard here. But this time I was there and I was like, you guys are obnoxious as fuck. Belgium ruled. Sweden was fine. Sweden, they just didn't know what to do with the rule breaking. I'd be like, yeah, but you can let it slide, right? And they'd be like, oh, I'm just going to have to go talk to... It was like, they would short circuit at any sort of... It was very interesting. It felt really like everybody signed... Like, you have to pay €1 to use the bathroom. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to duck under this turnstile to piss. I just paid $60 for gas. I'm going to use the bathroom. And they were shocked. They were like, you're going... And I was like, yeah, what are you going to do?
It's like the jaywalking thing I was telling you about.
Nobody jaywalks.
Even if it's...
Even if there's no cars for miles.
3 a.m., yep. No cars.
Why?
In the city, and the road is 10 feet wide. People
the buffets for hotels, I was like, you can't... You're going to have to charge me, eventually. I'm like going back 1,000 times. Nobody... There's like a signed... Like everybody just like would get one plate, and I'd be like, I'm going to go back. And they'd be like, no... Like, you could, everybody
would
just
agree.
Would
they not let you, or would they just not?
They would let me, but they'd be like, what is she doing? And I'd be like, I'm getting four. You're just letting me because you guys all agreed that this is okay. It was very weird. It made me like America a lot. And it was also weird just because it was weird going to a country and having like fans there. That was kind of, it was cool, but
Were you surprised by how many, especially in like, the non-English speaking countries, how many native people were there to like, what am I trying to say?
At the shows?
Like, everyone who was at the show obviously spoke English, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of Americans in Berlin.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the ratio of like expats?
It was less. It was like 3% expats. And then, like, went up to 20% expats in Germany.
Okay.
But it just freaked me out. There was something weird about going and having fans in other countries that was really cool. It was really, like, moving to have comedians there who were, like, you know, there's a group of, like, Berlin female comics who were in the back, and they were like, we were watching you, and, you know, you're our favorite, da-da. And it was cool, But I'm also having a little bit of an existential crisis about it, I think. Like, it's making me very... It feels very weird.
Because you're global now?
Just, like, having fans in general. Like, I feel like you get to a place where you want fans so bad, and then you get them, and you're like, this is awesome. And then it gets to a point where you're, like... Maybe, like, a little bit hostile. Like, I almost feel a little bit, like... Like, edit undo. Like, I want to almost hit the edit undo button and go back to telling jokes and having them bomb and knowing that they're bad jokes because they're bomb. It's just weird. It's weird to have people be like, we'll laugh at anything that you say. And it's weird having people be like, I don't know. It's
you're at the level now where you have, like, unconditional fans.
Yeah, and that's weird.
Where they like everything you do. And there's almost no...
You know what it is? It makes me want to sabotage it.
Yeah.
Like last night when the when I said Iran and the woman was like, Iran. And I knew she was a fan because she was at the show. And I just flipped out. Like, it's making me want to, like, burn everything to the ground.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like, it's making me want to test the boundary and be like, you like me now? What if I say this? What if I say this? What if I say this? And I don't know what that's all about.
Well, how do you act when you have, like, a partner who's likes you too unconditionally, and what does that make you want to do?
Text other boys.
I think it's just, it's freaky to not have any critical feedback, especially because comedy is one of the only things where the feedback is instantaneous when you're performing. And
it's not like I don't have critical feedback, because if I say something, people are like, she's fucked up, she's a stupid ugly pig. But it's weird to have, it makes you want to, like, it makes you want to go comatose. Like, when people are like, we love you, I'm like, do you love me like this?
Yeah,
that's what it makes me want to do.
You want to, like, test people's boundaries.
Yeah. And it's weird for people to be like, it's weird to go up on stage and be so hostile and screaming at everybody and saying your feelings that are so toxic and have people be like, we love you.
Yeah.
Is really weird. And, yeah, it's just freaky. It's definitely freaky. It's definitely good. I mean, it's definitely what I want. And my fans are great. But it also is, as somebody whose stasis is hating themselves, it does make you want to be like, well, I'll show, if you love me, I'll prove you wrong and I'll completely lose my shit. Which is a weird feeling. Thank you for sponsoring this video, first of all. If your man needs some help in bed, Rose Sparks is a prescription treatment that might be right for him. The cool thing about Rose Sparks is it stays in your system for, how many hours is it? Like 36 or something, but when you get aroused, then your dick goes up, and when you're not aroused, it goes back down, which is pretty sick. My problem with other dick pills has been, like, it makes a abnormal cock. Like, it'll be, like, some really insecure dude, and then he'll take one of these other dick pills, and then he has, like, this gargantuan erection that doesn't match up with the little scared man that he is. And I think that that's because they pop a pill, and then it just goes right to their cock, whereas this one sounds like it's a little bit more like, I'm gonna be having sex roughly in the next day, I'm gonna take the pill, and it'll just, like, boost my cock. Which I think is better, because then it's just in there and you have a cock boost. It's not like, time to have sex and boosh my cock now. But it also does work really fast, within 15 minutes. So it's for guys who want harder dicks, but also to control their erections. So it gives you more dick control. How does it work? Dual action formula that stays active in the system. I don't really know how it works. It doesn't say how it works. But people be having soft dicks lately because everybody has some sort of anxiety problem. So yeah, if you're fucking a woman such as myself who's taller than you and weighs more than you and intimidates you because she's screaming stuff and oil painting in the corners with her period blood, and you're having a hard time getting hard, but you do like her because there's something crazy, you can take one of these pills, it'll make your dick hard. If you go on Rose Sparks, it connects you with a medical provider online. It's all online. You don't have to go in person and tell them that you have a soft dick, and then it'll ship directly to you. There's nothing wrong with having a soft dick. In fact, I like dating guys whose dick can't get soft. Whose dick can't get hard. I have a hard time dating guys whose dick is always hard because it feels weird, and it feels like their dick could get hard with anybody, because if it could get that hard with me, then it just they have one of those hard dicks and they're just going to go around. They're going to fuck people with their hard dicks. If prescribed, new sexual health patients get 15% off Sparks on a recurring plan. Tell your partner to connect with a provider at ro.co/Jordan to find out if prescription Ro Sparks are right for them. That's ro.co/Jordan for 15% off this order. Sparks is a compounded drug product. Compounded drugs are permitted to be prescribed under federal law, but are not FDA approved and do not undergo FDA safety, effectiveness, or manufacturing review. For safety information, go to ro.co/safety info. Sparks is, now this is the part, oh no, you display this on scene, on the screen, or I could read it in the, Sparks is a compound drug product. Compound drug products are prescribed under federal law and have to approve. I said that. Okay. Yeah, do it. Thank you for sponsoring the pod. Let us know if you like RO Sparks. I've had issues with the other ones, so maybe this is a good one where you get to have a reasonably hard cock and not a scary, scary dildo cock. Thanks. And... yeah, it's just weird. It's weird to... It's weird to... get the thing that you wanted. It's a really weird feeling. And to be like this... I don't know. It makes you sleepy. Because it makes you feel like there isn't... It's almost like you don't have to, like, claw tooth and nail anymore a little bit. So then you have to find other reasons to claw tooth and nail. Because if you're not clawing tooth and nail, you feel like you're dying. And, so the way that I claw tooth and nail right now is it's just like every, I'm just like focusing exclusively on jokes. So it's just like I'm clawing to get this joke to work and I will chisel this, which I think is good. But, yeah, it's like there's always this kinetic energy that you have to be like, I need to find love. I need to find love. And people are like, we love you. And you're like, then I'm going to, and then you're like, I'm just tearing through other things to find it.
I think ultimately that what you're describing is going to allow, is allowing you to like focus on your writing more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is good.
Cause you're not worried about the base.
But then it makes you throw shit at the wall. That is so weird.
Good.
Yeah. But sometimes you're like, this is too weird. I mean, I have like, I'm doing like a 10-minute chunk on rape right now.
Yeah.
Where I say rape like 400 times until it bombs. I mean, I say it until they're like, all right, we've had enough. And I'm like, it's the only part where I feel joy is when they're like, we don't like this anymore. And I'm like, yeah.
I think that's a really common feeling with people who get notoriety. Yeah.
Is, well, to try and get to the point where people are like,
you kind of turn on the people who love you.
Yeah. When I say, I mean, I'll say it until it is silent.
Yeah.
And feel.
Yeah. And this will be known as Jordan's rape period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they do the documentary.
Right. I'm like trying to, and it's not that I'm not trying to do anything hateful. Like I'm done with doing the like hateful shit towards people. I mean, I still have some of that, but purposefully trying to get people to get disturbed is definitely there.
Mm.
And also, I think because, like, therapy is going well and I feel like I'm doing better in general. It's, besides, I mean, I'm sick right now, I'm feeling shit, but, like, in general, I feel a lot better. I also have that part of me that's like, what if I just become, it's everybody with OCD has this, where it's like, what if all of a sudden I turn and I must become wretched?
Yeah.
What if I become absolutely wretched?
So you haven't been home.
Oh, yeah, I have not been home.
Since Europe, really.
I was home for one day, and it was awesome.
And you feel like shit right now.
Well, I'm, like, truly allergic to... I've realized, like, truly allergic to sugar. Mm-hmm. And I ate sugar in Europe, and then immediately got sick. Because I wasn't sick when I wasn't eating sugar. I was, like, feeling incredible. And then I went to Europe and was like, it's okay, I can eat a little bit of sugar and just am dead now.
Were you thinking that thing people say where they're like, in Europe, I eat bread and butter and cheese.
That's exactly what I was thinking the entire time.
I lost weight.
What is that? Why do people say that? It's not true.
I think there's two things. It's one, it's like you're more active when you're traveling. You get 20,000 steps a day or whatever. The other thing is people will say that because of different regulations in other countries, the food is actually just more whole.
Or
more
sure, natural. If I was eating sheet pizzas in New York and then went to Europe and ate pasta, I'm sure that would be better. But I was eating like a monk in New York and then went to Europe and was being like, I'm going to have patisserie.
Maybe it doesn't apply to sugar.
Yeah.
That thing.
I didn't even eat that bad in Europe. It was just a little bit of sugar. Yeah. I just allowed sugar to creep back in a little bit and it wrecked me.
Because now it's getting colder and the ragweed stuff is going down. You should be starting to feel
better. I was feeling so good. Mm. Europe did put me on my ass. And then I just like, because sugar is such an addictive thing, I just kept eating it here and being like, okay, I'm not going to eat sugar, but I would eat like a full cantaloupe. You know what I mean? Because my body's like, and I would get it. Also, Megan, who's on the road with me, is a sugar whore. And so that didn't help. So we were being sneaky, sneaky devils together.
Yeah.
But I am on my ass now. And we all got sick. I mean, you're just flying across the fucking globe. And then I've been flying to Austin and everything's all fucked up. And it's crazy. Every time I think I make any headway with like setting the boundaries and doing something, I push it a little bit. Like I keep doing, this is like, I'll get to a point of where I feel good. And then I'll be like, okay, now because I feel good, I can trash it a little bit. And it becomes this slippery. It's almost like every single part of me, like every particle of my body is some sort of addict. Like there's no atom or molecule in my body that's like, I feel okay. We don't need anything. We don't need to add. Like, I'm constantly being like, coffee, zin, sex, love, need the validation and a little bit of that. And there's never. And even when I'm like meditating, I'll still be like, oh, I should write this down. I should write this down. This is a good thought that I'm having. This is a bad thought that I'm like, there's no.
TV. I think you should do that. You should write things down.
Dude, I had the biggest realization yesterday while I was laying in the grass. This is going to sound so weird, but I realized that when you're growing up, like when you think about like fond images of your mom and dad, it's like these really close up textural things about them, right?
Hmm.
Like your mom holding you as a kid or your dad, like, you know, their like skin and their body so well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with friends, it's this like moment. It's like we had this time together and this occurrence together. And with your partner, it's just like the parents, right? Where it's like this more textural, the way their mouth moves and their skin. And I realized that the reason why we're so susceptible to abuse from our parents and our partners is because we're addicted to their whole like way. So when they abuse us, we're like, oh, but that's this like foreigner wearing this skin sack that I'm so in love with. So long as the skin sack that we're addicted to is hurting us, it's okay because we're addicted to like the textures and the skin and the face and the movements. And for love addicts, it's so toxic for them because they'll never let go of that deep. It's like the montage when you break up with somebody and you start imagining the crinkle of their mouth and the da 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 da. And for love addicts, they'll just deal with so much abuse because it has nothing to do with the moment to moment. It has everything to do with like the essence of the person.
Yeah. Does that make sense? It sounds like you're describing like intimacy. Kind of.
But it doesn't have to be them even touching you.
But intimacy doesn't either, you know?
Yeah.
Just being that close to someone.
Yeah.
Not even, you know, I don't mean physically, I just mean.
But if my friend is like, you're a dumb cunt, I'm like, oh, this goes into the repertoire of things between us where they called me a dumb cunt. Yeah. If my partner calls me a dumb cunt, I'm like, yeah, but they were wearing that jacket that smells that way and their face was like, like it's. You go immediately to sensations because that's what you knew to do with your parents.
Yeah, I think friendships are probably less sensual.
Yeah. And because they're less sensual, you're more able to set boundaries. But with partners, it's like, well, I'm not. Yeah. What am I going to stop having that scent or that feeling or that thing?
Yeah.
But
you should try plugging your nose.
Yeah. Or literally, I think what you have to do is. I think they have to be a friend. I think you literally have to think of somebody as a friend until you trust them.
Yeah.
You can't look at them as a sensory thing.
I think so.
I think that's the move. I think I hacked it.
Because also fantasy falls into that sensory intimacy thing. But that's almost like you create that for yourself.
Yeah. I think you have to literally, like, I was, like, there was some stupid bitch on Instagram that was talking, she's not stupid, but, you know, she's one of these women who are like, this is how to be a person. And she was talking about how, like, the term boyfriend is so stupid, and they should just be a friend until they're your husband. Because boyfriend is, like, you're basically just letting them have all the things that a husband has, all the, like, trust and stuff, and you just keep them a friend. And I think that that's true. I mean, semantically, it's fucked, because what are you going to say? But I do think that there's something to basically being keeping somebody at a friend's until it gets to a point. Because I think as soon as you meet somebody, you have all of the... Mm-hmm. Okay, this is very exciting. We're being sponsored by Quince. I love Quince. They have the luggage that I use, my bed sheets, my kitchen stuff. They have good clothes, like basics. I have some of their underwear, I believe. I think it's the cotton, whatever. I really like Quince. If you don't know about them, look them up. If you're one like me, where you're like, I don't know what's cute and I want to have a cute place, so you just go on Quince because everything they have is cute. And that you can just like trust their vibe because it's curated really well. As the air turns crisp and the holidays draw near, comfort becomes the best gift of all. Quince delivers layers that last, sweaters, outerwear, and everyday essentials that feel luxurious, look timeless, and make holiday dressing and gifting effortless. Yeah, it's just whatever you buy on there, if somebody just made you a card of the stuff, you could, like, trust that it would be, like, classy, but it's not super... I really like it, because I'm a rat person. So I just need a place where I can be like, if I get it there, is this going to be rat? And it's not rat. It's good. Quince has it all. $50 mug... Mongolian cashmere sweaters made for everyday wear, denim that never goes out of style, silk tops and shirts that add polish, down to outerwear to build to take on the season. Perfect for gifting or upgrading your own wardrobe. Honestly, Quince Italian wool coats are the top of my list. The cut feels designer, and the quality rivals high-end brands, but without the high-end markup. I don't have one of their coats. I do have their sweaters. They're really nice. And I have their linen bed sheets. They're really cute. I have the plaid one, and I really love it. And I always hate it when the other duvet is on the bed, and I always try and wash that one quickly because it's my favorite. By working directly with ethical top-tier factories, Quince skips the middlemen and offers prices $50 or less than similar brands. I also think that their sheets do the thing. You know how you would get a wrestling match with your bed, and it becomes something where you, like, hurt your shin, and then all of a sudden you question whether or not you love your parents? They have bed sheets that are, like, super, like, big... around the corners, easy. That's the best part. That's the best thing about Quince, actually. Step into the holiday season with layers made to feel good, look polished, and last from Quince. Perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. I keep on going out there. Go to quince.com/RIP for free shipping on your orders and 360-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/RIP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RIP. And that, like, okay, what I do is, if all of a sudden I'm being intensely overwhelmed by the pheromones and the feelings and the sensations, I go, okay, that's not a friend. That's somebody I should try and date. But I think that's a no-no.
So when you feel that from somebody, you're going to try to think or tell yourself...
I don't think you let that happen. Start a friendship. I think you don't let that happen. I think that's like eating sugar. I think you don't let yourself get to that point at all.
Then how do you find someone?
Friend.
But what if you feel that feeling and
get overwhelmed? You can't feel that feeling. Why would you feel that feeling? You would feel that feeling because I held...
That's the addiction?
That's the addiction. I let them hug me for too long. I laid on a couch next to them. I let them have a sleepover. Like, you can't have that from this far away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you do, you have to stop yourself. If you start to become obsessive about the little things, I think you have to pull it back. Which is devastating. Because that's the most fun thing ever. But I think you have to wait for that. And I think that there is a place for that. But it's later.
So you're saying that your next partner will start as a friend that you don't even consider a romantic partner.
Yeah,
that's fair. Sure. I mean, I would say that's like... There's probably a million ways to skin a cat.
Yeah.
And that's probably more healthy than what you've tried in the past, for sure. Totally. For your specific...
You always have crushes on people, but like, there's a difference between a crush on somebody and being like, oh shit, I'm slightly... That's a mag... You know how we always say that's a magnetic person?
Yeah.
That is like a little dangerous.
Where like everyone probably feels that about them, but most people are able to control their addiction or whatever it is.
most people have enough strength in themselves to be like, I'm not going to now try and bond our skin together in order to take some of that magnetism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It sucks, but I do think, like, pretty substantial barriers, appropriate barriers, are required.
I think for you specifically, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, totally. Because, like, when I start hanging out with a dude, and then it's like, oh, I want to hang out the next day, and the next day, and the next day, it's, like, immediate. It's just the most slippery slope into being, like, the idea of them not being there is horrifying. Which means they can then do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, especially if they don't try to curb your...
Right. No, if they try and curb it.
Or whatever.
If they try and curb it, then I'm going full throttle.
Yeah.
Because then that means they have a nice little boundary that I can just and ram up against or whatever. It's fucked. But I did realize that. I did realize that. And it's inappropriate. I should have... The feeling that I have with my friends should be more of the magnetism thing that your parents have. You should feel a parental trust in your friends before your new partner. And that is not what society tells you to think. They tell you to think that when you're with somebody, you're like, oh my God, they feel like home.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's day four. It's home. You know what I mean? And friends should feel like that after years.
Yeah. Do you think that's an American thing? Having just coming back from Europe and seeing people interact with each other. Like, do you think the divide between seeing your friends, or do you think in other countries, friends are like just as touchy-feely, intimate as someone's parents or family?
I think that there are just people like me who speak French. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just if you're an addict. I think it's if you're... I think that there are French people who are as insane as me, and there are then healthy people who aren't. But, you know, it's like the feeling when somebody, when one of my friends touches me and I'm like, hey, this is inappropriate. It's not inappropriate. That's the most appropriate thing in the world. It's inappropriate that you let a guy who you just had sex with touch you like a friend. Get him, Coyote. Coyote then following her and be like, what is it? I'll fuck him up. Yeah. And maybe that's why it freaks me out, the fans being overly familiar.
Totally. So... Yeah, tell me about last night.
Last night sucked. Last night I was... Rosie! Last night I was trying to leave the club, and I'm sick. I am like, there is something wrong. And I decided not to do meet and greet. And I was like, good job, Jordan. You don't have to do meet and greet. It's just going to make you... You have to go to bed, right? And then I, like, leave, and I have a Coyote in my hands, and I called an Uber... And it's lined up outside the back of the club. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take all this stuff. My hands were full and I was like, I'm going to leave. And then I opened the door and it was all these people that were trying to take a picture with me. And they look like me, like they're Nashville people. I mean, there was one woman like came up to me and was like, I just want to stand next to you. And like grabbed onto my arm. And I was like, and I like tried being like, Coyote bites. She like bites really hard to try and scare her away because she was in my arms. And Coyote meanwhile was like, and... maybe I should train her to bite. And then I just couldn't get to the car. And I kept looking at people being like, this is crazy, right? Thinking that they would be like, help me. And they would then look at me and be like, can I get a picture? And I'd be like, oh! And it was like, there was no... I couldn't get to the car. So then I felt like I was fully being held down and raped. And it felt... And you have to be nice. That's what's scary. That's what makes it feel like rape. Because that one guy who you know who assaulted me, the weird thing about that was while he's like trying to fuck me, I have to be like, ha ha ha, no thanks, no thanks. And there was no point where I could be like, yo, fuck off. And now I've learned to be such a fuck off person that when fans come up to me, I all of a sudden have to pivot back to old rape Jordan and be like, ha ha, no, I didn't say anything, I didn't say anything. Instead of being like, no, fuck off. And I think I just have to be like, fuck off. But that's a weird thing. You have to be nice to your fans. That's what everybody says. Be nice to your fans. Be nice to your fans. It's like the big, I love my fans. I love you guys. I don't love you. I don't know you. I don't fucking love you. How about that? I don't love you. I don't know you. I don't. If you are harassing me trying to get a picture when you if you aren't offering to be like, hey, can I help you grab something? You look like you're dying. I was literally yelling at them. I'm really sick. I'm really sick. I'm not that sick. I'm just sick like bodily, but I'm not like sick sick. But I just kept saying that thinking it would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's fine. Oh, it's okay. And I was like, it was so weird. And it was weird to have to allow the rape.
I think it's really scary to like look around when you need help and just be met with like deer in headlights.
Yeah.
No one, it's like, no one is seeing you as like a person who needs help carrying their groceries to their car or something. Or like someone carrying a stroller down the stairs. It's like,
it's so weird. And there are some people who are like, here's a bag of stuff for Coyote. And then they walk away. Yeah. And that's the best shit. And I open it up and it's fucking toys and treats. Or they're like, I made you this gift. And they walk away. But there are some people who are like, and I've seen it happen with Segura, where it's like, I made you this thing. And you have to be like, okay. And then they're like, can we take a picture of you with the thing? And I'm like, is this for me or for you? It's crazy.
I see these things on social media where it's exactly that. And I think what they do is they have seen a video of a fan giving, I just saw one the other day, a guy giving this director some handmade thing that he made. And he was like, this is incredible. Come to set.
Oh, that's what they think is going to happen.
And he was like, really? Oh, cool. Thanks. And they took a little photo op. And I think it's like, it's half the parasocial problem of just what you do now. It's the podcast thing. People think they know you. You're very open about your life and your psyche. But it's also the people who want the sort of fairy tale of...
And I should say, there are a lot of good fans that come up to me and they're like, thank you so much for taking a picture. I know you hate this. Like, there are so many people that are with it. But there, it's also, can I just say this? It is alcohol. People, I'm like on stage and I'm watching these people drink like the fucking pink Kool-Aid. And I'm like trying to do stand-up and they're just getting drunker and drunker. And then afterwards they're coming up to, it's like,
yeah,
it's so crazy. And then, and the other thing that's weird about it is like, they never want to be like, how do you like Nashville or how do you like whatever? They always just want to be like, I started watching you because of Reels on Facebook. And then my friends started watching you and now, and they tell a whole saga about how they know of me. And I'm like, in what world would you ever think I would want to hear this? Why would I ever want to hear that you went from Facebook and then saw it on YouTube? And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. I mean, the only thing I like is when people are like, I love RIP. That's because it's my baby.
That is cool.
But it is, it's just quite odd. It's really weird and I don't. And you know what I also think it is? I also think I get triggered because I think I see myself in them, but how I am in relationships where they're like, I just want to be close to you. And I'm like, oh, you're like, you know, you're like I feel fanish in relationships. So when they do it towards me, it makes me so repulsed, I think. Because there are some comics who are like, I love this, thank you. And they're so good at it. And for me, I'm so repulsed by it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I see a little bit of the sycophantic.
Yeah, it's... Clearly there are... Most fans are good. I'm sure it's like a small percentage
in of Europe, they were very chill.
The bad apples spoil the bunch, you know. Or like on a given night, maybe the ratio is a little worse for you.
We had one girl in France who brought like all this, like a fucking garbage bag full of shit. And she just was like trying to give it to me and she was like really intense. And then we just got outside and I was like, you guys, we gotta hurry. We have to run or she's gonna make me take that shit. Cause she had like forgotten the bag and was like, I'm gonna go get it. And I was like, we gotta go. And then just through the streets of Paris, we just heard, Jordan, Jordan. And we were like, I mean, it was coming closer and we were it was crazy. That's kind of fun. The runaway thing.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it is weird, and it is...
There are people who are on the level, and there are people who...
But I think even if this wasn't me, even if... Say I was on tour with you, right? And I saw this, I would feel the same way. Even if it was happening to you, I would be having just as much of a philosophical mental breakdown about it. Because there is just something really weird.
Well, that's just... What is that? Just the you cringing at... You, like, taking a step back and seeing it from the third person? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I think I would be just as up in arms. Like, there, I'm just up... I haven't seen this before.
It's a behavior. Yeah.
It's the behavior
is disturbing. It's not that it's happening to you. It's that it's happening at all.
Yeah. Human behavior is very disturbing.
Yeah.
And it's freaking me out. And it's... Yeah. It's... I think it's heightened because I'm working at comedy clubs where people are drinking, especially. But I also think it's weird. It's like, there are these like epochs that you go through that are like, sometimes I'll go through these like chapters of being like, I see how everybody is connected and we're all the same. And then I go through these chapters where I'm like, I am a complete alien and I do not understand how anything, I do not understand how any, like when that girl last night, when I said Iran and she said, it's Iran, like my brain, like, how fixated I got on everything that led her to say the word, it's Iran. Like, the idea that somebody would be like, I'm going to interrupt this whole flow to correct her. And then I was like, are you from Iran? And she's like, no, but if you're talking about a place, you should say it correctly. And like, my whole body got so hot at the idea that she was going to use this as a teaching moment.
Yeah.
And I just, any... There's so many chapters in my life where I would have been like, I hate you, moving on. But I just was like, you fucking dump. And I was just like, I need you to get that you're a horrible human being or else I won't be able to sleep tonight. And that's the chapter I'm in. I'm in the corrective chapter, which is not healthy. Where I'm like, I'm going to educate you on why you fucking suck so bad. And
that's a lot of audacity.
It's the audacity.
You should have said, I wasn't finished with the sentence.
I ran. Marathon. Yeah. The fact that I am disturbed at the audacity. The audacity of, which I wonder if that's from doing so much therapy that then you start seeing people who are retarded and you're like, I must correct this.
That's not even falling under the category of, you know, what people say, like, everyone wants to be part of like a clip on Instagram now. So they will say,
it's Iran. I will end your life. How about that? I told her I was going to burn her alive. I said I was going to set her on fire and burn her body.
Was she laughing when you were digging into her?
I couldn't see her.
Oh.
No, she was screaming. She was mad. She started getting mad. And you could see, like, I was, like, sweating. And I was, like, and I had to, like, be, like.
Yeah.
I had to be, like, I hate you so much.
Was she drunk, do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're all drunk.
She was drunk woke.
She's a woke, stupid fucking cunt. It's fine. Iran, if we were in a conversation and I said, I went to Iran, and they were like, I think it's pronounced Iran. That's like, even that, I would be like, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Like, even that would annoy me. But yelling it out.
Maybe like a lesser known country that you look at the name and you're like,
if I said like,
okay, not everyone knows how to say Eritrea. Or something.
Right, or if I said like Qatar and they're like, it's Qatar or whatever, I don't even know what it is. But even that though, why are you?
Just let it go.
I can't, that's
the thing. No, not you.
Yeah. Just then let it go. But that's what's up. That is the chapter that I'm in. There's all these epochs. I just got out of lesbian camo chapter, which is where you are like, I'm never going to have sex again and I'm just going to be somebody who has dogs.
Yeah.
And now I'm
your
in.
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom. And now I'm in. Dissecting every single thing that happens around me obsessively. Every person, like people that I'm friends with, I'm like, this is something they need to change. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean,
I need to switch to the live and let live chapter. You know what I mean?
See how that goes. This is good for comedy writing, potentially. If you're overanalyzing behavior, at least you can draw some shit from it.
Yeah.
Live and let live. I can't see you doing that for a long time.
No.
Too comfortable. I'm live and let live.
No. You wish. Yeah, right. Are you kidding me? You will have like...
Mine?
You You are.
Oh, I'm. Yeah. I guess we're the same.
Yeah. You will literally be like, this guy said this word a certain way and I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
No, that is. You aren't. You just don't have rage.
Yes.
You don't have the rage.
I don't have the
confidence. You'll tell me about something and I'll be like, yo, I will fucking end that guy. And you'll be like, it is crazy, right? But you'll see things that people do and be like, this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you're like,
I don't have the confrontation gene at all. And that's the big difference.
I mean, I got into a full fight. Did I tell you about the fight in Eugene, Oregon? Where the guy walked up to Dan, who was opening for me.
And you were talking about it in the Sagalo episode.
Yeah, and I ripped and I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what are you saying? I was like, what are you actually trying to accomplish right now? You
were in line for like...
a sweet little restaurant that was like in that little house and there was an entire patio of people watching. I just have to...
Yeah, but that guy was probably being a dick anyway.
He was insane. But I have to get to the bottom of it. I can't let... like, I need to know what people's motivations are.
Yeah.
But you are, that's crazy, Live and Let Live. We would not be friends if you were Live and Let Live.
Right.
I remember working on your porch on some job, on some thing you were building, and your neighbor was like, hey, Harry. And you were like, fuck. And I was like, please no, please no, please no. And you sincerely said to me, you go, hey, it really means a lot to me that that bothered you as much as it bothers me. And I was like, yeah, that's unacceptable for your neighbor to say hello like that. Because like, we were running drills and shit. And he was like, hey. And you were like, and he like kept trying to say hello. And you're like, okay. He
insisted that I saw how he needed me to see him saying hello. He couldn't...
Now it's bothering me that you thought even for a second that it was you were Live and Let Live.
I just misunderstood what you were trying to say. You know what I was thinking
when
I said I think I'm Live and Let Live? I'm just like happy with my life.
Yeah.
What I thought you meant.
Yeah. I am very happy with my life right now. That is the thing. I think that I can't be happy without then turning it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do... I did make my therapist tear up the other day.
Which one?
Lucas. The gay one.
I don't care for him.
I know you don't care for him because of the thing, but he's not doing that. He's not doing that.
Hmm.
I tested it the other day. I did a little
test. How did you make him tear up?
Because I was just talking about how I felt a lot better and I really was like, I was really enjoying being alone and I could imagine a world in which I could imagine a world in which I felt good enough to say no to my ex. And I just was like talking about how I was really proud of myself and how I was doing really well in the writer's room. And he was just like, because there was a time where he was like, we need to get you to a point where you like actually can let the good stuff in. And I was like, that's never gonna happen. I'm not okay with that. And he could hear me letting the good stuff in. And he was just like, you've come so far. This is amazing. And I was spending like all the evenings by myself and really enjoying it. And I wasn't, I don't know, I just have like, I feel very moved on. I feel like I could imagine liking myself soon.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you before that the last few times you've been alone for like several months at a time, I can like hear it.
Yeah.
On the phone and stuff, that you are like using your time while, like, you're just like enjoying your time and you're doing shit that is making you feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think I was also talking to him about this where I was like, because usually what happens is this, I'm in a relationship and then say I like kind of start hating the person. Then I go like this, I go, I'm only as good as whoever I can date. So then I see somebody who's better. And I'm like, well, they date me? And they go, yes. And I go, okay, great. So that means I've moved up a notch in how good I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I'm alone, I start to be like, oh, I think inherently I'm actually like a nice person. Not a nice person, but like an enjoyable person to be around. And fun, and I start seeing the good parts of myself. But then I was talking to him about this. I was like, what you've done, what we've done here is we've basically been like, okay, here's, take this overeater who can't stop eating. You just put them into a facility where they can only eat healthy food, and you've removed all the bad stuff. So I'm like, the second you let the bad stuff back in, is that a man? I'm gonna go sicko mode.
Right.
So I'm like, how do you keep up the self-love and the, like, you know, the painting and the doing positive things for yourself and taking care of yourself, and then let in the addiction, which is love addiction, and not let it take over? And I think the answer is what I said before, which is super, like, a fucking epic distance. That's like a
time and distance.
That's like a eye beam that you have them at the end of that you slowly. Like
space and time is the only way for you to get to the point. I think that's what I was going to say, is every time I see you take these periods of time where you're doing a lot better and you're like distancing yourself from these things that harm you, it's like the relapse that it's like you were so close to getting to that point where you can start introducing.
That's a sabotage thing.
Yeah.
Where right. I go, I'm so close to being healthy. And then I'm like.
Yeah. And that's like, even just in general, like when I talk to you about like being ready to be available or whatever, like knowing what you want, I always tell you, like, you'll know blank when you see it, because it won't be a question. It won't be something you have to labor over.
Yeah.
And like, the only way to get to that point is time and distance away from the addiction. Yeah.
Yeah. Which does suck. But yeah, I also think when it's introduced, you can't be like, now is the time to allow it to flood in.
No. You can't declare it.
You cannot declare it.
You let it happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. But you're doing good now.
I'm just being like, the powers that be will let me know. Like, the idea of dating right now feels...
Girls.
Did you attack Coyote? Come here, come here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you smell like other dogs.
Wait, I'm gonna pan down and show what's going on.
Oh my goodness. She's gonna sleep so good. I can't believe I have to do two shows tonight. The writer's room thing is so sick. Waking up at 8 a.m., waking up at 7 a.m., walking the dog, and then writing from 9 to 5, and then going home and watching TV and painting a little bit, and then going to bed.
That is sick.
Oh, being in bed by 9, what are we? This life that I'm doing now sucks ass.
Yeah.
That's why the bus tour, I'm going to be...
I was just going to say.
It's going to be 2 weeks straight hell, and then 3 weeks of good. I think that's the move.
Everybody else in every other profession that involves touring, they do a big chunk at once.
But even you with, like, your art handling, it's an art handling gig. And you break your ass for a certain amount of time, and then it's done.
Yeah, like, but that's like day. That's like a day thing. Like music, when I was music touring, you go out for 3 weeks, it sucks.
You
lose money, and then you come home, and then you don't have to. Then you can write and do what you want to do.
Yeah. I don't know why comedians do it this way. I talked to Segura about it, and he was like, because flying is the best, leaving and flying. But I was like, yeah, you can take a fucking private jet.
I think some probably prefer the performing aspect more than the grinding and writing. But I think the most part, they're like you, and they hate the on and off, and just want, you need the stability of home.
Well, I think they have kids, so they have to come back and come and do the things. And then I think they have a lot of commitments during the week that they have to come back to.
Yeah. So do you.
Yeah. But I am curious what it'll be like to do that many shows, because then you can really work through the hour.
I think that's the only way to get really tight.
Yeah.
Like.
But I am curious if I get off the bus and I'm like, I'm never going to do that again. You know what I mean?
You got to try it. I think it'll be a positive thing.
You think?
I think so, because the chunk getting it out of the way, and then the chunk that follows where you can just be home and not even have to do New York shows,
yeah,
or whatever, like that will be, I don't think you'll ever want to go back.
Really?
I don't
but
know.
Segura said, where's the box for me? Segura said that it's the driving that's so bad because you're driving all day on a bus. When you were touring, mm-hmm. is the driving brutal? Not if you're asleep.
I was doing a lot of the driving, so if you have a bus, you'll have a driver. Yeah, you sprayed that like perfume.
I did. I sprayed it like pepper spray.
Yeah.
Like mint spray. Yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm excited to just be, I'm just stoked now to be alone and to just be a independent unit doing weird shit. That makes me very happy.
Me too.
But I can't imagine being, I guess the point is people get in relationships and then they still are independent units within the relationship.
Yeah.
My friends, I mean the females in my life, because I'm 34, it's like getting to a crazy point, like, because I don't care if I want to have kids or not. And because we have the same thing where I'm like, we're like, I'll have kids if they want to have kids, but I'm not going to bend the will of nature. But my friends are, I also don't think I want kids. I don't know. But my friends are getting to a point where they're like needing to lock down relationships so that they can procreate. And it is the most grim affair.
Yeah.
The ticking clock thing to find one of these retards.
The desperation.
It's so bleak. I have friends in New York that are treating dating like it's a part-time job. And they're like running through men. And they're like sitting down and being like, what are your wants? Which is that is death. There is a form of that that feels like the most soul death thing I can think
of. Yeah, because then on the other side of that, when you kind of get, so to speak, what you want, what do you, I don't know.
Right, like the natural progression into finding these things out about somebody who's gone.
Yeah, I think if what you want comes at such a cost of like desperation and a mad dash.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand that. Imagine being like, I'm going to find somebody so that I can have kids and then pump out a kid because that's the thing I want. Imagine having the kid be the thing that you... That scares me so much.
Yeah, how do you treat the kid?
Yeah.
Throughout their life. Like, what... Yeah. What does that kid actually represent to you?
Yeah, that you just locked into a weird dude that you hardly even know so that you can have this child, and then the child is like a shitty mall goth.
Your face was
super bright,
getting dappled.
That one episode where I'm just like
the last solo episode where you got blown out.
Yeah, that's really scary. I'm very glad that I don't have that. I don't have any desire to have a baby pulling milk out of my tits.
Yeah,
it's so weird to me. Sometimes I see like videos of chimps, and I think that would be nice.
Having a chimp?
Well, sometimes I'm like, is that just I see people holding chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I just want a baby? And
that's why I'm so. Maybe you just want a chimp.
The little furry chimps. Have you seen the furry chimps?
The babies with the big ears.
With the big ears, and they're all black with the little.
And you can tickle them.
Stop.
And they laugh. They like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the idea of a baby is, it's just getting weird. It's getting weird to be a woman who is this age because you're just seeing it. And you're seeing people be like, it's like this most smart, most amazing, intelligent woman. And then they'll just choose the like farmer idiot and pump out these like beautiful little prairie kids. And I'm like, I guess that's what you got what you wanted. But how is that what you want?
Maybe part of it is fantasy or like a ideal of like what you want your future to
you know what like. I think a big fantasy is, I was laying in the grass yesterday and I heard a kid going daddy which made me hostile because I was like, must be nice to have a dad. But he was, they were, the idea of being a woman with a husband who has a kid, I think that's a big fantasy. Being like, I'm going to have a husband who, like, has a kid that they have to...
Already?
No, like, I want a husband who has our kid. Like, they have to take care of our kid. Oh,
stay-at-home dad type thing.
No, just like the idea of marrying a guy, we have a child together, and then they are a father. Like, the idea of my partner being a father is, I think, a fantasy women have.
Oh, looking at your partner as yeah.
And being like, you would be so, it would make me love you so much if you had a child.
Totally, totally.
Which is a weird one. Which I've definitely had that, where I'm in a relationship and I'm like, I just want to have a kid just because I want to see you with a kid.
Yeah.
Which is like, very bizarre. But it is weird. It's a weird fucking age. And all my friends just freezing their eggs and going through these epic fucking things where their body are destroyed because they know they want. I just can't imagine having that sort of knowledge where you're like, I know that this is a thing that I want. Is there anything that I have that is a thing that I want? Theaters. I want to do theaters.
Playing theaters?
Playing theaters. Do you have anything that you're like, I know this has to be my future or I'll die?
Dog.
Dog. Same.
And not in the way of... I don't think in the way of people thinking about kids. It's just like... Once you have that kind of companionship...
Yeah.
It's hard to... Imagine your life without it.
Yeah.
But like as far as, I don't know, career type stuff or like
relationship anything, just stuff. Like I want a bigger house or I want a...
I think maybe just studio space. Like the one we're in, I'm outgrowing. That is one thing I'm like, I know that I will change this soon.
Yeah.
But
imagine so knowing that it's a child.
Yeah, that's...
How is that? How I want to know that mindset so bad. I know that I want to have a kid. How do you get to a point where you feel adult enough? Ever?
I wish I understood it. It's probably something to do with the...
Reparenting.
The parenting and... I don't know.
You know what else? I think a lot of those people, like, we have parents where now we've kind of become parental a little bit, right? Where, like, our parents almost, like, admire us.
Yeah.
And I think that makes us be, like, fine with not having kids because they're kind of kids. But I think if you have a parent who really doesn't give a fuck about you, having a kid probably feels really comforting.
Yeah. I could see that. If you're not kind of on the hook for, like... Yeah, there is a big role reversal kind of thing where some parents as they get older become a little bit more juvenile in the like dynamic with you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you're like, I can't have two children.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to become my kid's kid.
Right.
So how does a dog not fulfill the role? Look at her, she jumps up.
Oh my god. Yes.
What else? What else we got? We're coming up, I think we're coming up on near an hour here.
Well, what else has happened?
For the listeners, this is kind of what it's like when we talk on the phone. This is like pretty much...
Well, then it's a lot about...
A conversation
trying to not be sick anymore.
Yeah.
It's a lot of changing our diet and trying different things.
Yeah, aside from the wellness stuff we tell each other that we just discovered.
What wellness shit?
Oh, dude. Qigong.
You're a Qigong guy.
We'll do it when we go back inside.
Which is Tai Chi, but faster?
Oh, was I telling you about this? It's Tai Chi is a type of Qigong, I'm pretty sure.
Bro, teach me Qigong. I want to be one of those people.
I got this one great... It's 10-minute video. I do it every morning. The five elements, metal, water, wood, earth, and fire. And each one corresponds to like two of your organs.
Okay.
And you hold these positions to like grow your energy in those elements. And then you do like a little flow movement, just breathing.
And it helps?
I swear to God, my integrative medicine doctor told me to start doing it.
Yeah.
And it could just be like, oh, I'm moving my body in a way that's like nice. And I'm taking time to like intentionally
meditate do this while moving.
13-minute thing. But I swear I have better days when I do it. Like, I start my morning. It just feels different. It's crazy.
I'll do literally anything.
She also told me to just, like, do a bunch of, like, you know, the box breathing. She was like, your CO2 is low in your blood work. Or something like that. She's like, you need more oxygen or something.
You
like
talk that. Too damn much.
Yeah. And she was like, you need to breathe in for 5 seconds and breathe out for 5 seconds through your nose. Like for 15 minutes a day. I was like, I can do that.
She's just telling you to calm the fuck down.
I guess.
You
have to meditate. I don't know what the oxygen thing is. I think it's just an unconscious, my breathing is shallow. But that's my one thing for you. What do you got for me? That and the allergy test.
What do I have for you? There's this guy named Dr. Shen. Who makes these? Did I tell you about him? Where he makes these Chinese supplements, and it's like Dr. Shen, and it's like a picture of a Chinese man on the front, and it has all of the Chinese symbols, and then you look him up, and he just is a white guy. But no. Those pills work. He is a white guy.
You know what it is? Huh? He knows that if an old Chinese woman or man is on the front, it slaps.
Yeah.
It's like the chili, the Lao Ganma chili oil, chili flakes.
Yeah.
It's got that old lady on the front. You're always going to go towards that one versus like some trendy looking jar of shit.
Yeah. What I'm on is Moon Brew.
Yeah, you told me about
magnesium supplement.
I tried it when I was at your house.
Ooh, it makes the hot chocolate at night and it makes you go to sleep so good. They sent me some. Thank you so much. I need more. It's the best.
Sponsor us.
Well, they are, I think. I mean, by sending it to me.
Do pay us to do ads.
No, you can just send it.
Okay, just send it.
I'm spending so much money
on it.
It's so good, and it puts you to sleep. My sleep has been better. Also, can I just say something? I'm sick of the dreams. Can we chill on the dreams? Every fucking night, I have the most intense dreams where I'm in some post-apocalyptic shit, and I have to save some fucking weak bitch who's about to get raped by a million men who are wearing chains as clothes. And I have to save them, and I wake up, and people are like, time to begin your day. I need no dreams for a bit.
Yeah.
I would like to manifest that. I'm sick of dreams.
I'm back in dreams again.
Turn it off.
After a while, I'm having the weird ones. It's vivid.
I can't be watching TV in my sleep. I'm doing a live action performance. I'm in a Broadway play, and then I wake up and have to live my life.
Dude, I think that this is the first time you've mentioned you're getting good sleep.
Yeah.
I think for you specifically, that is so fundamental to your health.
Dude, it's crazy.
And that is sick.
It's so sick. I'm finally getting good sleep.
It feels amazing. It took me a long time too.
To get that you need.
And to just dial in.
Yeah.
Did I send you the noise machine?
No.
I'll show it to you inside.
Okay.
That's changed everything.
Noise machine.
Dome noise machine. Please sponsor us. That has changed. That and leaving my phone in the kitchen.
Okay.
Changed my life.
In Europe, I left my phone out one night just because I was like, I'm in Europe. There's literally the time difference. Nobody's syncing up. So I can just leave my phone and check it whenever because I'm in a different country. I had the best sleep of my entire life.
Yeah.
Even if it's just not, if it's in the room, literally what we don't know is when you're asleep, when it's in the room, it's like some energy is coming out of it being like, you need to wake up and come to me. Yeah. And it's doing a full Pharaoh with the snake dance at you in your sleep. It has to be in a different area. It can't just be on the desk. It needs
even to be, if you don't check it the entire night.
Yeah. Still.
You get worse sleep.
It's whispering.
Yeah.
I think the phone is whispering.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of this. When the phone is not in the room, it's crazy, which sucks because I know
that's scary to think about. When you're sleeping, it's going, wake up.
I think it is. Because how come every time you open your eyes, what is the first thing you see? Your phone sitting on the thing.
Yeah.
I never open my eyes and see the wall. I open my eyes and I see the phone. Well, I have the addiction of watching TV until I sleep.
Because you have such a nice setup for doing that.
I do have such a sick setup. Yeah. But I need to turn it off and do no phone.
Yeah. Or find something to put on. When I was at your apartment, I put on this like POV walking through a forest, 2-hour long video. and just like fell asleep to that.
Was it good sleep though? I worry that the screen is still whispering.
Yeah. I say just avoid it.
I think just avoid it. I think I get an apartment that's not a studio so that I can
watching TV it. In bed and falling asleep to it is hotel shit. Do it when you're at a hotel.
It's so bleak.
It is bleak.
It's so bleak.
Falling asleep to a cell.
But I watch Great British Bake Off, which then has made me have an insane sexual attraction to Noel Fielding. Noel, the guy who...
I've never seen it.
Yes, he's old Greg. You know who he is.
And probably making you dream about sugar.
It is making me dream about sugar.
Yeah.
It's a huge issue. All right, we're doing no screens. We're fixing the sleep. No, the sleep is fixed. We're going to bring it up a notch.
With the sound machine.
No sugar. With the sound machine.
And Qigong every morning.
And Qigong.
I was doing it at
I can't wait till I start having sex and we have podcasts where I start having sex with people.
Then we'll have to start doing weekly.
Then we'll switch to weekly. When Jordan has sex.
Every other week a solo. Who knows?
I want to do a solo. It's hard for me. I always am worried that the solos aren't good, but they end up being good, I think.
They end up, from my perspective, they end up being some of the most watched, the best feedback, and people who are fans of you getting just you.
Why? I'm just saying nonsense. It's crazy.
You're not, though. You're like...
It's bizarre.
You're articulating things that people want to hear...
About sleep?
Sure. Everyone has the same problems.
Yeah.
And when someone that they like and they admire and they think is funny is articulating the same things that are going on in their life, you feel less... They feel less crazy. They feel heard. They feel seen. And I think it's like... To do that, it's like there's nothing negative that comes out of that.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. But we'll work on it. We just gotta get you like a little bit easier rig to set up and.
I just have to get a bigger apartment. Also, it is time. My apartment is crazy. What else?
What else you got? So you're leaving Nashville tomorrow.
I go back to New York, which will be nice, and I'm going to work remotely for the writing job, which will be fun. I was very proud of myself. They asked if I would go to LA, and I was like, I cannot. I simply have to be home, which was good. And then I'm going to Ithaca in hiding.
Nice.
And we'll work remotely from there, too. I'm just in such an active, I have to go home and I have to be like, do not come out to my house unprompted. I have to do all of these, dude, it's so crazy when you just have to keep setting up
boundaries.
It's so retarded. It's endless. It's
for like yourself or for other people?
For yourself. It's like this... No, for both. It's like this endless game of fucking dominoes where you just have to be like, I have to do this or I'll do that. It's like every 2 seconds I have to be asserting my needs, which feels crazy. It's like next thing you know, you become one of those people who's like, actually, I'm gonna... There's got to be a balance.
I think there's a point at which it's unconscious. I think for you right now... Those sort of when you're checking yourself, I think they sound alarms in your head and you're like, oh, I need to tell myself to not do this. I think there's a point where you get so good at it or it becomes second nature and you're like, it's breaking habits.
You know? Yeah.
And you're in the...
Hopefully it gets to be second nature.
It will.
Right now it's crazy.
You need to trust...
Right now, I just feel like I was this morbidly obese sponge that everybody just jumped off of buildings and landed on. And I have to be like, can you guys not do that? Like, I felt like I was just this, like, goo bag letting anything happen that would happen. But I feel like that got me so far that now it's hard to imagine pivoting to somebody who's a human being that has, like, amorphous...
Yeah. I mean, and it's... I don't think it's, like, uncommon to say that, like, an unhealthy lifestyle or unhealthy, like, self...
Dialogue,
whatever you want to call it, got you to a place that you want it to be, because you had to, that involves making sacrifices and like putting yourself in a really uncomfortable position. And now that you're kind of in a more comfortable, you kind of got what you wanted.
But I'm worried about being like, imagine like a two-dimensional shape on the ground and everybody's walking all over it. And then the two-dimensional shape starts to like stand up and be like, hey, and people start not walking on it because it's standing up. And they're like, we can't walk on you. And you're like, no, I'm a fucking person. And then I'm imagining it just getting so big that it starts folding over and then smack killing all those people and being like, you have to die and you have to. That's what I feel like is happening, where I'm like, wait a minute. I can stand up for myself. You fucking suck. You never should talk to me. I hate you. So I have to figure out how to be two-dimensional or be vertical without folding over and being like, yeah. Shwenny.
I think what you're describing is like wrath, isn't it? Like one of the seven deadly sins.
Okay, the name of the episode has to be Wrath. Wrath is exactly the epoch I'm in. I'm in Wrath.
You're in Wrath.
I am in you. All of you thought you could get away with this, and now yeah. I'm taking it out on everybody. Dude, Wrath is so funny.
We're watching a bunch of the Count of Monte Cristo
yeah.
adaptations. Have you ever seen them?
No.
You know the story? This guy, it's the guy who wrote like Three Musketeers and shit. Yeah. This guy gets sent to this crazy like Alcatraz prison by these dudes in his life who were pissed that he had a hot girlfriend and that he like
was yeah
bad, you know, and they had this scheme. They sent him away. While he's there, whatever, he breaks out of the prison and gets more money than God.
Yeah.
And comes back as this mysterious Count of Monte Cristo and starts taking the most Machiavellian fucked up revenge on all of these three guys that wronged him.
Yeah.
To where he is revenge. Like he yeah. becomes revenge.
Yeah.
And the way he does it is so like beautiful. It's like, and one guy's like, why don't you just kill him? Just fuck these people yeah. up. And he's like, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm going to destroy their lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're kind of, you're the Count now. You're coming back and you're being like, I'm getting healthier. I'm starting to like know my shit.
I have enough sleep to kill you.
I have good sleep.
I've slept.
And you're like turning back and looking back at all these people who were fucked up to you.
Yeah.
Or situations, whatever. And you're like, I want to come down on them all at once.
Yes. The letters that my therapist had me write, yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. don't send them. Do not send them. And it's just like, you fucking thought that you could get away with this? Yes, I know that I blew your cock, but it wasn't. I didn't want to. It's crazy.
I think you just take it slow and at least rest easy that all of these people who fucked you over or who upset you or whatever, even if they don't know it, they are probably seeing you in this place. And I think they will do the wrath for you. Like there's nothing you have to do. You don't have to act on these. It's like the letter writing. You don't have to act on it.
Yeah.
It's okay to have the feelings, but.
Right. It's almost like it's okay. I feel like I need to be like. What I need to do is accept the wrath. I need to be like, it's okay to feel this wrath. It is okay. Because right now I'm being like, you're a bad person for feeling this wrath. And I need to be like, this is a part of the process. And the wrath will fade a little bit. Because my feelings of being like, and I'm gonna fucking, is, or like a, like my therapist was like, why don't you try like being the person that you like, instead of being like, you are always incapable of providing me with this, so I'm going to do wrath. Instead, use your new health to be like, hey, do you think you could provide me with this? Instead of having wrath for them never being able to.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, it's stating your needs.
Right. Right.
And sometimes the only way to.
Because I've definitely skipped that part and gone right to.
Sometimes the only way to know what your personal needs are is to have someone fuck you over for not giving you that thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And instead of getting your revenge, it's like, well, now in the future, I'm taking this knowledge
But what do I do with the orb?
I don't know. Have a good life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
You know, living well is the best revenge.
Talk shit about people a little.
Sure.
The letters help. The letters are sick.
The
letters definitely help. It's such an interesting thing, though. I wonder if other people experience this, where they start seeing how much they've been walked all over and then start to get...
Yeah, you get mad.
You do get mad.
I mean, I've had small, you know, like...
bouts of wrath.
Professional things or, like, little interpersonal things where it takes someone else to... You tell it to some... I'll tell you a situation, and you're like, that's so fucked up. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was fucked up. I should... Yeah.
I should burn their house down. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. I think it will pass. I'm just in wrath mode. Hi. I'm in wrath mode. Jordan, yeah. With enough sleep is...
It's good. You gotta...
That is a really funny premise, the idea of getting therapy and enough sleep that all of a sudden you're like, oh, everybody's gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you get sober. That's what it is like. When you get sober and all of a sudden you fucking just wanna...
It's like a way of getting sober, but instead of telling everyone you know about how many days sober you are, you're just boiling inside with, like, plans.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think just for now, take it out on the audiences.
Okay, good. I am.
Take it out on the fans and try weird shit.
Yeah, I think try weird shit is a move.
But go home and get in bed, too.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. To everyone watching, sorry about the creeping light. I know everyone's got something to say about everything. Every episode's got a little...
audio. A little flavor?
His mic was weird. Oh my god, you're getting blasted with the light. We know. And we don't care. I'm just going to say it right now.
We're in a garage.
Okay, perfect. Low power. See ya.
Bye.